Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and this week we're talking with Kaylee Carlson about how our parents influence who we date and how to leave unhealthy relationships. But before that, I'm going to have an interview that I did with this incredible man named TP, who I met when I was in Vegas with my friends. What happened was we were going up the elevator to this beach club where we were going to see Troy Boy play, and he just like, hold the elevator. And he was so funny, like how he called his friends over. I could see that this guy had so much heart, just so much love inside of him. And we just were cracking jokes all the way up the elevator and out. And I just had to like record a little brief interview with him. The full video is on my Twitter at Seth_Pearson. Just to see this man smile. And I also have a picture of us posted there as well. He was just so full of life, and it was amazing. So enjoy that. TP was amazing. I'm so glad I got to meet him. Now, let's get on with our main interview with Kaylee Carlson.
Oh, there it is.
Is it work? Can you hear me fine?
I can fine.
You're using your weird radio voice.
I know.
It's intimidating, Seth.
I know. It's like, wow, I just hold all of this radio power. This host power.
You're omniscient radio voice. Like, you're in my apartment right now, like, just emanating from my phone. Is my sound fine?
Your sound is great. What are you using?
Just my iPhone. I just thought my iPad would have better sound, so...
This is sounding great.
It's an Apple product. It works perfectly.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. It's the first time that's been said on the show, but it's very true. Just saying, guys. Wow. Well, Kaylee, shall we jump in?
Oh my god, I'm so nervous.
Yeah. My gosh. Holy shit. Okay. Wow. Uh-oh. Well, Kaylee,
you have
please.
A plan. I can tell. Okay.
Oh, I always have a plan. Kaylee, give us a little intro. Who are you?
Who am I? My name's Kaylee Carlson, and I'm an artist from Vancouver, Canada, and I'm really interested in satanic rituals.
She's been performing them for a long time. You said you're going to a goth karaoke bar.
Yeah, gothioki.
Gothioki.
Yeah.
Does that work into part of your the dark side of yourself?
Yeah, it just, you know, it fits the profile. Kind of like, I think everybody should live their life like they're a cartoon character, and I think I do a pretty good job of that.
Why is that?
Well, because it's better to be Mickey Mouse than be nobody, right?
Oh, okay. Wait, what's nobody?
Ooh.
What does that mean?
because do you want to be the guy watching the TV, sitting there stagnant, or do you want to be the guy in the TV living that Steamboat Willie life?
I want to be the steamboat.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
What?
I want to be the steamboat. So I want to be in the TV, but not the main character. Wow, Kaylee, where does this dark side come from? I like this. What is this?
Oh, this, the dark side? Like,
yeah,
are you asking,
what is this?
Like, what do you mean? This is like a long, okay, so do you mean like being like goth?
and what that means to you.
Oh, it doesn't mean much. I mean, I just like music from the 80s. And
oh, is a lot of music from the 80s, is that goth, like,
yeah, like dark wave, like dance music. You probably like goth music, actually. It's like very dancey. It's very dancey and like, but the lyrics are very like, she was like a withered flower, but the dancing is very like, it's very bouncy and like fun.
Oh my god,
it's kind of like making fun of like how finite things are, I guess, a little
bit.
Yeah,
I like that. I'm gonna have to freaking check some of that out. Okay, so that was actually just a warm-up question. Kaylee, tell me about your dark past.
My dark
what happened?
Wait, you specifically want to know about my past?
Of course I do,
because like I have present things. I see, I thought you were gonna come up with the whole like, what is the worst thing that ever happened to you?
Oh, exactly. No, but I mean the past, but also that's led to the present things that you're dealing with right now, like hanging out with like Satan. Your ex and stuff. Oh, and Satan. Yeah.
Wait, do you want to know about the thing with my ex, or do you want to know about before that?
Ooh, let's start about with before that.
Okay, so yeah, I was raised by sort of a situation where my grandparents would watch me a lot, and I didn't actually spend much time with my parents. My mom was kind of a workaholic, like good person, but not around very much, so I didn't really get to know her. And my dad was kind of close to me because he was unemployed a lot, because he was a really cool guy, like, but also like a really big alcoholic. So I grew up in kind of a weird situation with like the sort of typical like deadbeat dad kind of thing. But yeah. I mean, I was exposed to a lot of cool stuff. I was an only child and an only grandchild. So like, I got to experience sort of all of these different parents, basically. Like all of these people cared for me like I was their own kid. And I was, I guess, sort of spoiled in a way of, like, all of the parenting I received, even though I wasn't around my actual parents very often. Like, my mom's best friend, she couldn't have kids, so there were pictures of me all over her house. And, like, my other mom's best friend, she couldn't have daughters. She never had daughters, so I was, like, her little angel and played with all her sons. And then my grandparents, like, they were the ones, you know, that I would sit there and just like every day after school, I'd walk to my grandparents, and that's where I would stay pretty much until bedtime. So,
wow. Yeah. Do you think getting raised by like kind of like a bunch of different people, do you think that is healthy? Did you enjoy that?
I think that there's aspects of it that led to me like developing pretty strong social skills. So like I have the ability to like I can make friends really easily, and I also like had to learn to make friends really easily because I moved a lot. But like I think that I knew a lot of different people and I got a lot of their energy, and I was also pretty independent. And like I think that having different personality input and different types of people around you, even if sometimes they're not the good people, it can like benefit you a lot. Like it's the whole like,
like the
growth mindset thing. Like I kind of feel like it's like tasting different flavors is really important to growing fast.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think I agree with that. I think being surrounded by people is the way to do it. It's the way to do it. Okay, and so leading in from that.
Okay.
Keep going. From, so I feel like
more about my past.
Yes.
I guess it's hard to like, okay, so some things happened with my dad. I won't go into it, but we ended up, my mom kind of like fled to the other side of Canada, which is, Canada's a big country, so it's like a really big move. she drove a semi, like, well, not a semi truck, but like a big moving truck by herself with all her stuff in the back. Pretty suddenly, like, I grew up all in one town my whole life until I was like I guess I was like 10 or 11 when we left, and we moved all the way to Ontario. And first, we lived in this like little tiny town called Brantford, which is the origin of, I don't know if you've ever heard of Tim Hortons. It's like a Canadian sort of.
I have.
Yeah, it's like a Canadian cheap ass coffee company. So that's where Tim Hortons was invented, and apparently Wayne Gretzky lived there or something. So,
oh, that's where he was.
Yeah. So, yeah, I moved there all of a sudden, and I was in a situation where I was just exposed to a lot of weird things about relationships. So, like, my mom dated a bunch of different people that were really weird, and we would, like, stay mm-hmm. with them sometimes. And then we moved to, like, this city called Hamilton, which is very, like, it's kind of, like, across, like, Ontario's kind of, like, across from New York. So mm-hmm. there's a very, like, Hamilton, Ontario is very, like, city vibe, very steel town. There's smog warnings. And, like, coming from British Columbia, where, you know, I'm used to, like, all this land and green trees. And, like, it was just a really different experience. And, like, I didn't love living in the city then, but whatever. Just moving a lot taught me a lot about, like, that whole building relationships thing and how I had to do it faster, mm-hmm. sort of, to survive.
Yeah. Were you okay with, like, having to, like, let people go quickly? Like, when you moved?
No. I was really confused by it because, like I said, I spent my whole life in one way, and I really kind of resented my mom for a long time, I think, for a few different reasons. Like, there was one reason that was, like, I felt like she was following this guy to Ontario. And mm-hmm. the second reason was she was taking me away from my dad. And even though I had seen my dad do some, like, really messed up stuff, like, really, like, traumatizing things, he was, mm-hmm. like, always really fun to be around. And he's still to this day, he's, like, one of those social, charismatic, cool motorcycle, like, listens to black metal kind of dudes. And he's just really cool. Like, he's a cool guy. And when I was a kid, wow. I was, like, his little girl, like, I, like, loved him, even though it was really messed up. So she kind of, like, took me from him, and I was kind of, like, I felt a lot of resentment, I think, for a long time about that. And that was the biggest thing, was, like, my dad and my friends and stuff. You know, even when I was young, for friends and stuff, it was really interesting because, like, the internet was a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. And like, a lot of my friends, we just kept talking online. Like, even back, that was, like, I guess in the early 2000s-ish. So even then, we were doing that, and I was, like, I was kind of a geek. So I, like, did a lot of, like, online role-playing on, like, forums.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's really funny. I like that.
I actually ran websites and stuff when I was a kid. It was, like, very early 90s websites, like, we did, like, early HTML, and we learned when we were, like, I don't know, like, 9 or something, how to do HTML off the internet and, like, JavaScript. And, like, yeah, role-playing actually was really good for me because they were people who were remote from me, but I still mm-hmm. talked to them all the time. So we had, like, these personal chats with these people on the internet that I never met and I don't talk to now. But, like, during those years, it was really cool because they were always the same and they were always there.
Yeah, it was, like, a good, healthy way to keep growing and, like, coping with current situations. Like,
yeah, because I think it's really healthy. Important to have some kind of stability when you're, like, going through all these transitions. Like,
yeah. Absolutely. Every, like, moment, type of growing moment at that age, like, every year is different. Every year is important.
For sure.
So that's cool that you had that kind of support.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And from then on, like, how did... Oh.
Hello?
Hello.
What did you say?
Wait. Oh, I said, like, how did school go?
Oh,
like, during this time, maybe, like,
okay,
high school.
So this is something
time.
I care a lot about, and actually part of the reason that I did early childhood education degree, and I was, like, really interested in getting into education for a period of time, because when I moved, so before my parents broke up and all this stuff happened, I was, like, a genius student. They wanted me to push me forward in grades. I was in like special math classes and I was like this total, I don't know, I was like a really brainy kid. But then when I moved to Ontario, because the curriculum is so different there, they had everyone ahead in certain things and behind in other things. Like in BC, we don't really learn much about, we learn how to speak French a little bit, but not, it's not a big deal. In Ontario, it's like this huge thing and they were way ahead of me. But it wasn't just French. It was also like they were ahead of me in like, I think it was like weird stuff, like certain aspects of math. Like I never learned like division. Like I never had anyone teach me division or fractions. Or like there was just like a bunch of missing components, and the school system actually really just ended up being like I remember getting my first C or whatever and being really confused.
Devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating.
And I was like, I had always gotten like A's and I was very like confused because I felt like I was working hard, but I wasn't grasping anything and I didn't understand why. And I had some great teachers, but when you're one teacher teaching over 30 students, there's just not, you can't give the one-on-one attention you want. And there's not really support for kids who move. So when you move, like if you speak another language, you can go to like some schools have like learning centers and stuff. Elementary schools don't usually have learning centers. But like nobody really helped me with that. And I just ended up getting to the point where I was like really struggling. And then when I moved back here and I went to high school, I was just like this kid who seemed like I just didn't do anything. I was like, I don't know how to explain it. Like
you lost kind of your identity with like the
smartness.
Yeah,
I felt like I was dumb and like it was really confusing to my teachers because I would be really good at certain things and really bad at others. And in high school especially, they just don't want to deal with you. At least in the high schools I went to, they were just kind of like, you know, I was depressed. I dressed goth.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone through a lot of things. And then I also kind of latched on to other people like me. So I hung out at like the smoke pit. And I liked to hang out with like all of these kids who were kind of like experimenting with drugs or like partying. And I liked to like feel that way. And like for me.
So that's when you got into goth stuff is around high school?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So with all of this like experimenting, was this like because like you think your previous identity, which was Kaylee super smart, dealt with a lot, but you know had friends online and stuff, and now you're, what were you looking for like with that goth?
Well, one of the really cool things was like I remember coming to school and like I listened to a few goth bands because of someone that I like had met on role playing. Actually, she sent me a song and I was like, oh, this is cool, but I didn't even know what goth music was, really. Like I knew what goth was, but I didn't know that that was what goth music was. And so I started listening to like a few bands. There's like the Bauhaus and like CUC and the Banshees and stuff. And then when I went to high school, I was still listening to this stuff. But then I met this girl who was, like, really quirky, like, this drama girl. Her name was Brittany. And she dressed super goth. And then I remember, like, us hanging out really. We had this weird meeting thing. And then, like, we were hanging out. And somehow, like, she found out I listened to that music. and she thought it was super cool because they were, like, I don't know. You know high school people. They're very, like, cliquey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And they were, like, genuine sort of 80s goth bands. And she was really impressed by that, I think. So we started to, like, listen to a lot of it. And then I started to dress that way. And it was also just, like, it was really fun. Because it was, like, I got to kind of, like, show up and, like, dress in this very, like, almost, like, theatrical way. Like, it was sort of, like, sometimes it was even like really sexy or almost like offensive, or it looked aggressive. And it kind of led to, like, really interesting reactions and stuff like that. And I always really, like, enjoyed that sort of conversation of, like, I don't know, just, like, I like people's perceptions, and I like playing with people a lot, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm seeing a lot of, like, you enjoy attention here. Like, you Thanks. enjoy being center of the show. You want to be.
Says you. Oh, my God.
Of course
Seth.
I do.
You're the center of our world.
I'm Taffy Baby. Thank you. But yeah, okay, so going through, has that, we got the cough phase, we got that. But yeah, tell me more about this, the current situation.
So what, like, recently happened? Okay. Yeah. So I was painting a mural with, okay, so I'll start more at the beginning. I dated someone for 2 years. We were really, like, it was very tumultuous, and in, like, some Freudian way, I think he was kind of like my dad. Like, very cool, very Whoa. Charismatic, alcoholic, more alcoholic problematic mm-hmm. than my dad, but also an artist. And mm-hmm. We were really, like, intense together. Like, the way I met him, like, we were interested in each other and kind of seeing each other, and then he was in Mexico. And I didn't even have a passport, and I was just like, I'm going to fly there. Like, he was kind of like, oh, I wish you were here. And wow. I was like, I'm going to fly there. And within, like, a couple days, I had rushed my passport and got on a plane, traveled by myself for the first time, like, ever to, like, a country oh my I had God. Never been to. And, like, it was just this really crazy choice, and that was kind of our whole relationship was like that. It was just like that was like kind of a cool positive thing, but like I really think like with that intensity and that kind of like stuff, like passionate stuff, when the person that you're with is not like healthy, whether they're addicted, whether they're psychologically ill in some way, if they're not healthy and you're investing a lot of this passionate energy into them, I think that there's a flip side to it. And I think that that flip side can be really harmful. And
how would it harm you?
So in that relationship, there was just a lot of like, he was a liar, like, and the lies were sometimes senseless and sometimes they were like to get mm-hmm. his way. And there was just a lot of this sort of manipulation involving, like, how he would say things to you and how he would say things to others. Or, like, it just ended up being that, like, I felt like I was doing something wrong, or I felt like I was going crazy a lot. But I was, like, allowing things, like, that were basically, like, I was being cheated on, like, throughout the relationship, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, not physically, but, like, in these emotional ways with, like, his ex or with, like, I remember I was, like, I just always felt this sense of anxiety, like, heavy anxiety or, like, fear or paranoia.
Jeez.
And it got to the point where, like, I, like, read his journal one day because, like, he didn't know. I can speak a lot of Spanish. He speaks Spanish, and his journal was in Spanish. And I remember reading it. And, like, the things I would see were all about, like, him talking about these girls from his past. Like, it was just so weird. And, like, him talking about, like, just things that he never revealed at all. And it was, like, him as a person, he was so separate from the person he presents. Like, he was just so separate. Yeah. And then, like, seeing, I also saw, for instance, his exes or, like, people he saw in the past and their reactions to him, like, they were always, like, forgiving of him because I guess, like, he can be really likable. Like, manipulative people get you to like them. That's why they do it. And, like, he was, like, very charming that way. And he would make you feel, like, really, like, you're the only person who understands me kind of thing. But then, like, these people were, like, he made one girl have basically no friends after he saw her. And he made, like, this other girl and I, like, hate each other, basically. And, like, he just, like, made it so that I was super separate from everyone and slowly separating from my friends. And I knew that this had happened to a lot of people before me. And it was just like, even though all this stuff was happening, there was a sense of like, I'm different. Like, it was just really stupid. Yeah. I think it's that whole like complex thing where you kind of feel like I want to help them. I don't know if I felt like I wanted to fix him or help him. It was more so I felt like it was different. Like, I was like, oh, this is happening, but this is different because he loves me more or something.
Mm, I see.
Yeah.
And so, man, that sounds very complex. Yeah. By the way, that's very complex. Did you, like, so you felt, like, caught up in all of this. Like, how did you, is probably kind of, like, less of, like, a fixing thing. Maybe more of, like, you keep wanting to, like, try to figure him out or, like,
yeah,
get to the core of, like, who he is or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of tricky because in that situation, the person doesn't want you to find their core, probably.
And I think that I sort of, like, core on my own.
Oh, no.
And
wait, can you repeat what you just said after something you said?
Oh, after our relationship ended, I think that I started to sort of realize more of what that core was.
Wow. How did it end? What happened?
Basically, oh my God, it was really, this is like, I try to like summarize it because it's just like a really, I was at his house. It was like right before his birthday. It was like Thanksgiving and he kept leaving. He was drunk, I think. And he kept leaving the room and I was like, what's going on kind of thing. And I was chilling with his mom. We were having family dinner. I had brought her flowers. Like everybody was like laughing and happy. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I walked into his room and I just saw him like furiously texting. And I was kind of like, what's going on? And he went like, and I knew right away. I was like, something's bad is happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening? And there was like this long pause. And then he was like, nothing, nothing. It's nothing. I'm just texting my coworker. And so I like snatched his phone from him. And I was like, let me read it right now. And it like, we argued a little bit about this, but finally he let me read it. And it was text from his coworker. But they were not texts that you normally would send to a coworker who's like just a coworker.
Yeah.
So that led to this like really explosive fight that like I acted in a regrettable way. And I also think and dress like he like tried to get me back, and then I came back, and then I left again, and it was just this really crazy explosion. And even after that though, like it was kind of like in my head I was like upset, but I was still like, I kind of want to stay with this person, we can work through this. And like it was just like, sometimes I think it's because maybe I was raised with like so many different families, it led me to sort of believing these strange things about relationships. So my grandparents have been together since they were like, I don't know, 18 or something. They're in their 80s. And like, they argue sometimes, but they always like laugh about it, make up. Like, that's one type of relationship I was exposed to a lot, was sort of this like, if you really love each other, you work on things together.
Mm.
And you talk about things. And sometimes you fight, but that's not the end. And then the other side was, like, seeing my mom getting cheated on, or seeing my mom and, like, not really understanding what it was happening, but basically seeing this picture of, like, him being sort of forgiven for things in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Or, like, he would have these, like, my dad would have these, like, really violent behaviors and stuff, but he was still there always the next day. And, like, they always kept their fights kind of secret. Like, I would see the results, which was, like, sometimes a hole in the wall, but I wouldn't know what happened. And, like, So I didn't really know what, like, healthy argument was or, like, what a point to end things was. I kind of, my view of relationships is very, like, I try to, like, work on things if I love someone. And yeah. I think that in this situation, there was nothing I could work on anymore.
Yeah, like, you felt like in the relationship, like, you couldn't progress it, like, no matter what you tried.
Yeah, and I think that, to be honest, with someone who has, like, a problem, like alcoholism, along with maybe other things that develop from that, like, you can't do anything. Like, the way you feel doesn't influence how they will change.
Right, yeah.
So, right from the beginning, like, going into a relationship with someone like that means that, like, this is how they feel, and, like, alcohol or their problems will always come before you. And that was, like, a really hard thing for me to realize.
Because you would imagine, like, how people are so important to you, and how you almost sounds like you put them before you sometimes. That can be crazy to think of, that they put something else before you. And it's not even...
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, it's their problem. It's their problem that comes before you.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, so that... There's that explosive fight that kind of ended it. And then, you guys still... Recently, you were painting a mural together, and you said there was, like, some conflicts.
Yeah, so Andres and I... I don't know if I should name that person.
I definitely can't. There's no way I'm going to find that. It's not happening.
So this person and I, we like had a lot of really strong connections. So we wanted to try and stay friends. I wanted like me in his life. Like, so again, like through this, we tried to be friends afterwards really hard, and we did a lot of stuff together, and like it seemed kind of the same, and we were still arguing a lot, but sort of the like ultimate thing was this mural, where we were working on this large mural, and I wanted to help him. I was excited. This is a huge project. Like, people come, like, people vacation here for the mural festival. Mm-hmm. So it's like a really big thing to put on your CV and all of that stuff. And also I was just like, you know what? Like, I support him as an artist. Like, I support that idea, and I support sort of the idea of him, which is mm-hmm. like this person I like. And when I was with him, it became very like, It was, I was, for one, like, working really hard, and he's an alcoholic. He also has, like, I would say, like, pretty severe anxiety, like, social anxiety. So, some of the days I was there, he would end up being, like, please manage them. Like, I would be talking to the volunteers, or I would be sort of just painting on his mural because he wouldn't, like, give directions. And I ended up doing, like, a lot of work, and then that work also was, like, emotional labor. Like, every day there was sort of a fight, and the fight would be about, like he told me this really heartfelt thing one day that, like, made me kind of, like, this is cool, we can be friends. And that thing was that he said, like, that he, like, loved me still, and that, like, he, knew that I was engaged, and he understood that, like our love was really strong, but he wanted me in his life, and it was so important to him that he was like, I support, like, your marriage because I can see that, like, you're way happier now, but I still, like, my heart is kind of broken. Hmm. Like, that's why I'm acting this way, because, like, I miss you. And it, like, it was sort of, like, bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because it felt like, it felt honest, for one, because I had, like, felt that from him, and I felt like maybe he's aggressive because of this. But then afterwards, so we had been talking about this, and, like, he was just, like, drinking a lot and blah, 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 and then on the last day, the final sort of straw was, like, I showed up, and we were fighting a lot. Like, that was a confession that happened, and then there was, like, a lot of tension between us because I told him, like, I didn't like doing so much labor. I felt like he should be conducting it more. I also just felt like, I don't know, there was just weird tension. Like, he would say little things to me sometimes that were very, like, just randomly calling me a bad kisser or something. Like, just really, like...
Even though you're just, like hard you're stuff. Just hanging out painting a mural, just like, oh, by the way, you're a bad kisser.
Like, it was part of the conversation. Like, he was making a joke about someone else, and then he was like, oh, I forgot you're a bad kisser.
Oh, weird.
I was like, whoa.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was really harsh, and I took huge offense to that, and I was like, dude, like, I don't know, every day was, like, mm-hmm. these different battles, and then my favorite artist was there and came by when I wasn't there. He didn't tell him that I was in this mural. Like, he didn't tell him that I worked on it. I hadn't signed it yet, and that really pissed me off, because that was two things. That was years of me telling him about this artist, who's one of my favorite artists, mm-hmm. who I was like, look at this artist, and he was always like, ah, it's shit, because that's kind of his thing. Like, he would be like, oh, that's a copy of James Jean, and like, he was just like always shutting things down, really, really negative. And like, he would say that through our relationship, but then like, also I met this artist and I was super excited, came to the mural, and he was like, oh, whatever, kind of thing. Like, I had mentioned this artist so many times, and then, like, and then not only had he, like, forgotten his name, but it was, like, he forgets things because he's an alcoholic, so he just doesn't remember things, even if you told him it, like, a million times. And it was just, like, it was a pretty small thing, but in terms of how it made me feel, it was just, like, this huge, like, just this last sort of straw. And so I got angry, and I just left, and the next day I decided to come in to sort of represent myself. So I came, and he was kind of like, I didn't expect you to come. And I was like, yeah, well, I gotta represent myself. And I talked to like every person that came, and I handed out my business cards, and I was like, hey, what do you think of the mural? I engaged with them, and I made sure, I was like, yeah, my name's Kaylee Carlson, I worked on this mural. And then I was like, with, and then I named the other people who worked on the mural. And finally he like let me sign it, but it was very like based on this thing of like, I don't know if he would have let me sign it if I hadn't shown up that day, and I don't know if like I would have had a presence at all if I hadn't handed out those business cards. Like, would I have even existed, or would it have just been like a work by him? And like, it was just very like representative of like how I felt about a lot of things to do with our relationship. It was just this like,
wow. Yeah.
And that night we were out with some friends, and he said something about like, he said something about the fact that like, he was like, I don't love you, I love you like a friend, I've always loved you like a friend. Mm-hmm. He was wasted. But I was just like, he kept saying it in front of his friends, and I was like, stop it. Like, tell the truth. Like, why are you doing this? Like, it makes me look bad in front of the mm-hmm. people you know. And it also just makes me feel horrible. And he just kept lying straight to my face and to everyone's face. And I was like, you know what? Like, here's the truth. I told them everything he had done that week. And I was like, this guy's been basically like playing with my heart like all week, like being like making me feel like loved, but then like for some reason in front of everybody else it's like,
yeah,
nothing.
That's a pretty awful way of manipulation. Like, that's,
yeah. So I decided to, I like posted like publicly about it, and I feel like I was careful about it, and I was trying not to be accusatory, and I was trying to be like, this is alcoholism, like mm-hmm. be aware of this. And I like kind of, yeah, I talked about it publicly, and I completely severed the relationship, which I
wow.
didn't think I would ever do.
Yeah.
So I, yeah.
That was a week ago? That was this week.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was this week.
That's crazy, because you said you've always like remained friends with exes and stuff. And
yeah.
So you kind of now like, yeah, see the importance of like, truly like getting out of situations, like the benefit?
I think that even if like my heart wasn't like involved, I think that abuse, like emotional abuse, like, or like how an alcoholic behaves, which is essentially emotional abuse, no matter how you put it. Like that is something that stays around in that relationship, no matter what the relationship is. Like you have a history, especially there's something heavy there. And then on top of that, there's just like the way they behave is present right all the time. And if they hurt you, like even when you were just together, they can still hurt you. Maybe they can hurt you less. Like in the past, I couldn't just walk away from being friends with him. I felt like he was the only person that I clicked with, like as a friend. And so I really felt like I couldn't walk away from it. I didn't want to like upset him by like publicizing things. I didn't want to like lose all the friends connected to him. But I'm really happy I made that choice because like I don't feel like I need any network besides myself or like my own. And I feel like even if I was just by myself, I do have a great network. So I don't need that. Like I really don't need that. And if anything, it creates problems for me. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Did it feel kind of like selfish in the moment?
To
truly end it. Like, I mean, just the how you would say you want to like fix him / figure him out / did you ever like feel, you must have like felt bad for him at some point. Like,
yeah, there was a lot of that, just like caring and just seeing potential sort of, and like glimpses of something good and then wanting to like foster that,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. Whoa.
Yeah.
Man.
But yeah, one thing I want to say though is that like throughout all of this, I was talking to my partner who is actually like, it's really crazy because I can tell him like anything. And I told him like every little thing, every step of the way, and it was fucking hard. And there were points where like there was jealousy, and there were points where like he would get emotional too. And the cool thing was though, we came out of it and it felt like suddenly I was like, oh my God, like I can actually trust this person, like really trust them with anything. Cause like, I don't know, like in that same situation, someone like talking to their ex and like going back and forth and feeling like anything to do with their heart, like when you're with like one other person, like it felt like I was kind of like, I wasn't scared about talking about that stuff with him. I was very like, I knew I needed to communicate about these things with him. And it was really cool because it ended up being like, we understood each other on this new sort of level.
Totally.
And
a lot of patience and understanding.
Yeah. He's like nothing but like, I'm not going to say I want someone who's always like super positive. Like he's just a really honest person who you
can tell anything, absolutely.
Basically.
Also, by the way, this is Kirk, guys. Dude, this was Kirk on the show.
Yeah.
He's on the show. So look at this. Boom.
Yeah.
More connections made. Isn't this great? Isn't this great? I'm talking to the audience, by the way.
Yeah.
Is this great? No.
The audience. Hello, audience.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Is there anything during this process that like, if you could tell someone in this, like a similar situation, like what would you tell them?
What would I tell someone like in a relationship with someone like that or out of a relationship? I would say like the biggest, most important thing is to be aware that like what they have is nothing to do with you. And it's also like, after a certain point, it's like an illness. It's like a chronic illness. Like once you are an alcoholic or once you have these sort of problems, like they exist forever. And you have to like understand that and like understand that as like a component of that person. And also kind of like protect yourself. And the other thing I would say is that you, what did you say? You said the
selfish.
Word like selfish, yeah. I think being selfish is really a word or like a thing that people use negatively far too often. And I think sort of living in an individualistic or like not individualistic, but a selfish way will bring you like way more pleasure. You will be yep. honest for one, if you live more selfishly, and honesty gives you like integrity. Yeah. Honesty makes mm-hmm. people trust you, and honesty will also help you. Like it will help you know what you like and know who you are, and it will help like defend you without you having to feel like defensive. Like you can just exist and be what you are and like flourish that way.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely. The word integrity is more that's a kind of a new one that I started. I don't know, actually I kind of learned about it yesterday and how it works into
really?
Works into like relationships in general, like all, you know, types, and being selfish and like knowing when to like leave any type of like social situation, like, you know, like boundary pushing, like obviously
yep.
a million boundaries were being pushed in your relationship there, like that was like
yes.
It was crazy. And did you feel like powerless in like vocalizing those boundaries?
Like,
I guess
like,
with the kind of like emotional like manipulation, like it didn't seem like you were able to be like, whoa, if you keep doing this, like this is it or something like that. Like, I don't know.
I'm Italian, so I would get really like just frazzled and frustrated and loud, and that was like all I could really do. Like I didn't want to lose the person.
Okay.
And I was so like caught up in that I would kind of just like be like, because the way they acted towards me was sometimes like so intense, so loving, and it was like crazy to me. Like I was like, why would you act this way but then act a different, or like say a different thing or act a different way at a different time? Like it just didn't connect. Like I was so confused about who they were.
I see. Okay.
And so it would just kind of lead me to like reacting really like loud. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I could say it. Sometimes it was like just yelling or whatever, but like sometimes it was like threats to go away, but they were very like short-lived because they were always him like chasing me and bringing me back. Wow. Kind of thing, like right away. So
jeez, ooh, you just want to shake that out. You just want
yeah.
to shake it out. Just shake that. It's like
yeah.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are some other like things that have helped you now? Just going a little more general. Your life, like where is like self-love, like what are your tips
mm-hmm. for self-love? Ooh, tips. I guess just like, that sounds so cheesy, but like follow your heart. No, I hate that shit.
Oh, it's so good though. Are you kidding me?
It is like do what like makes you feel good, but like that doesn't mean being like a hedonist. It means that like you can like follow sort of whatever you feel passionately for and like allow it to shape you, even if those things are like hard or negative. The really important part of like all of this stuff you do, even if it feels very like fuck, like endless no's and no yeses, like if it feels like everything bad keeps happening, the important thing to remember is that those things are like mm-hmm. a learning process, and you might not like you definitely won't realize that while you're experiencing them, but afterwards you'll be like, oh my god, I learned something so important. I learned about boundaries. Like, how can you set up boundaries without knowing what you mm-hmm. want, without experiencing them? And I believe that really strongly about everything. I believe that about, like, relationships, and I believe that about, like, life experiences. Like, I've lived through a lot of things, and I've done a lot of dumb things too, and I think that in a way it gives me, like, a really good sense of who I am and what my needs are.
Totally.
Yeah.
Cool. Another thing that you mentioned is on a previous episode with Emily, we talked about Montessori schools. Tell me about your experiences. I just thought it was cool that, like, you mentioned that you have experience with that.
Oh, yeah, Montessori is really cool. I believe really strongly in the sort of directing interests, like, using interests to direct knowledge. Like, I think that that's obviously, in an ideal world, that's how we would direct all things, because then people would be passionate about them. Like, you know, if a kid, like, in a really simplistic way, if, like, a kid is, like, talking about trains nonstop, teach them about trains. Teach them math about trains. Like, not just, like, one train plus two trains equals
I have no idea trains, how many trains but that like... would have been. Okay. Okay, three? Okay, good. Shoot.
But, like, teach them things about, like, okay, how does a train work? That's science. Teach them, like, about the movement of the train. Teach them, like, about, like, I don't know, there's just so many things. And then there's, like, also just, like, body knowledge is really important. So there's, like, games or just, like, watching things. Like, you learn so much from observation. Like, I learned this especially, like, as someone who makes artwork. Like, so much of what the information you process as a human is just, like, visual or, like, experiential. And it can't really be put into words. So you kind of have to guide it with, like, I think, like, passion.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I mean, once, because it seems like once people find their passions, that's when they kind of blossom. So might as well nurture every passion that they experience and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. And now, okay, Kaylee, final thing. Tell me just a wonderful list of things that you love about Kirk. Yes.
Oh God.
Yes. Yes.
Seth, he didn't even like mention me in his episode.
Now he existed your episode because it's a fun surprise.
Oh my God, what do I love about Kirk? Kirk is like very attractive.
Oh my God, I could just sleep next to him. As in, my room is next to his room.
Oh God, Seth, why? No, bad. Stay away. Kirk is very cool. One of Kirk's coolest traits, honestly, is that he is like super open and also very honest. And it's like to this point that it's like when sometimes when you talk to him, if you don't know him well, you kind of think it's a quirk or it's kind of jarring. Like you're like, whoa, did you just say that to me? Like nobody says that to me. That's so rude or that's so like, and he doesn't phrase it in a rude way, like F you, but he's just very like critical and very like, but not in a negative way. He's like critical in a very loving way where it's like he's putting the energy into it because he like cares and it's very obvious. It's like, and I think that it's really cool because like a lot of his opinions maybe don't mesh up with mine or we don't have a lot of the same interests, but it's like this sort of back and forth is like really integral to like a relationship and communication. And when people talk about communication in a relationship, like you hear about it and you're like, okay, whatever. It's like this like phrase that you can throw out in the air and it doesn't really explain itself. But what it means is like being honest all the time, I think. And I think it also means just trusting each other to not even like, it's like this level of trust. It's like a huge level of trust, being willing to like just say anything, like anything at all, and like understand that like it comes out of love and it's not ever meant to hurt you because that person is not ever trying to hurt you. Like, they don't want to hurt you. The goal is always to, like, help you or to, like, improve something in some way. And that's really cool about Kirk. And I guess, like, the last thing is, like, dude, he's got a great...
He does. He does. I feel like we don't talk about that enough on this podcast, is just bringing up Kirk's dick and just how, like, extremely large it is. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I just see the Magnum condom wrappers just, like, spread around the house, and I'm just like...
Why are they around the house? You're gonna have to ask him.
They're just everywhere.
Actually, one day I remember, I think I was in the bathroom or something, or I was somewhere, and I feel like I saw you pick one up and throw it in the garbage or something. It was like in the bathroom or like in the kitchen or something, and I was just like, oh,
because
God.
I'm like used to doing this all the time. I'm just like,
you didn't say anything. You're just like, ugh. Okay.
That's really funny. That definitely didn't happen.
No, but he's really, really good at art. And actually, you know what? Like, this is a good love story. Mm-hmm. Like, right here is, like, love can develop from very simple things. And one of the interesting things is, like, I talked to Kirk for a long time. He's, like, an amazing animator. I love a lot of things about him. I love his creativity and, like, his, like, workaholic style is really cool to me. And just, like, so many aspects of him. And then when I met him, like, I was kind of, like, I found him really standoffish. And I guess, I don't know, I've had my other Canadian friends say a lot of American guys are like this. But, like, to me, I was sort of like, why isn't this guy trying to fuck me yet? And he was very, like, he was, like, so nice and stuff. And I was just, like, he seems like he likes me, but he's not, like, trying. And I was sort of, like, does he not like me? And I got, like, kind of a complex about it. But then, like, after we, like, hooked up one day, I was, like, right away, like, my feelings changed. And I was just, like, I love him so much. Like, I'm so in love. And it sounds so, like... fucking weird and like shitty, like I fell in love over a fucking dick, but it's kind of fucking true. And like the initial thing can be this like little sort of insignificant or superficial thing, but it can like turn into really good things, I think.
Are you talking about a penis? Is that what you're talking about? It can start very small, and then it can dude, so true.
He's wearing a Magnum all day.
Yeah.
When it's, oh my God, this is.
Well, he has to wear it. He has to wear it.
If he doesn't wear it, it's like a bra. You know, like how a bra holds your like boobs so you don't see your nipples. Like he needs to wear a condom so that people aren't just constantly staring at his dick.
Oh my gosh. Wow, I can't wait. The reviews for this week. You know, people tweeting at me. It's like, send us a pic. Like, send us a pic. Kaylee, they're gonna be getting you on Twitter. Hold on. I'm gonna let's see. So yeah, follow Kaylee Carlson on Twitter.
For dick pics and some art.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well Kaylee, thank you so much for thank you so much for everything, for sharing your experience through life. I love you.
I love
too,
you, Kaylee. Seth.
Thanks. I love you too. Okay, this is how I end conversations with Kaylee. Bye.
Love and. I am so proud of Kaylee for leaving that relationship. That seemed very, very hard. Thanks for listening, guys. And next week, there won't be an episode, actually. I'll be at Burning Man 2018, having a freaking blast, growing, discovering, exploring, doing it all, basically. And I'll be interviewing people there for sure. So expect some great content to come from that. So wish me luck, and until then, love yourselves out there, guys.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.